say that synods are not commanded by the Word of God. Why do we have them? To facilitate the work of the church. Now, is it possible that sometimes we put the synod into the place of the church itself and overvalue the synod at the expense of the church? I don't think I ought to ask you to answer that question. How would it be if I just asked you to think about it? Whether we do such things at times, whether the Missouri Synod, for instance, all of a sudden stands in the place of the church which is founded upon the rock. We don't want to do that. I'm not going to tell you who said this, because you would be shocked if you heard who said this. But he said, it sometimes seems to me that synods are an invention of the devil. That is shocking, isn't it? Now, is somebody ready to say what that man might have had in mind? He said it, I think, in all honesty. Well, shame on you.
Sometimes they're so divisive and just get in the way that they're blinded to all Christendom.
Yes, that we only see our own organization. And that's why it is so important that we should realize what it is that makes the church. It's faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God we don't have all the good Christians in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I have met Christians in Palestine that were not Lutherans at all. I have met many Lutherans outside of our own circles that I think were just as good, sincere Christians as you and I. And I have met Reformed Christians, also Southern Baptists, who were not Orthodox, but heterodox, and yet put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And those people that put their trust in the Lord are the people that make up the Church of Christ. Now, I hope that nothing I've said will make you downgrade your synod. I don't know how we would well get along without it. Only we want to use it rightly for the upbuilding of the church, not for the harm of the church. Now, have I said enough? If not, somebody speak. Well, I quoted to somebody, the Lord didn't say, upon this rock I will build my synod. He said, upon this rock I will build my church. And let's always remember it. And the church is the bride of Christ. And she is bigger than any synod, including our own. Now, Piper also has a section on Orthodox and heterodox churches, and I don't think we need to spend long time on that. Orthodox, those who teach soundly according to the Word of God. And heterodox, those who in one way or another depart from the standards of orthodoxy. Now, Piper has a most important remark on page 423. It is entitled, "There are children of God also in heterodox churches." And let's never forget it. And maybe when we pray for the church, we ought to pray particularly for the children of God in heterodox churches. When we say this, we are by no means downgrading orthodoxy or sound doctrine. We wish everybody held sound doctrine. Heterodoxy is dangerous. You take Calvinism with the once in grace, always in grace. That can make a person dreadfully, carnally secure. That is a very, very dangerous teaching. Fortunately, not all Calvinists suffer shipwreck of their faith. When, and Pieper brings this out, when at a certain time a Reformed divine was asked what he should tell a poor sinner on his deathbed who was worried about whether he was in grace and was elect, then he was advised to comfort such a person with the passages about universal grace, which are officially denied in Calvinism. You see, you can't get along without it. Finally, you have to return to the biblical teaching that Christ died for all, that God loves the whole world, that God wants all men to be saved. So no matter what the error is dangerous, but thank God, God watches also over his children in heterodox churches. Now, anything on this particular thing? Yes?
It seems to me then that the Missouri Synod would be the only fourth attempt body, and then all, well, like a reform would be classified as heterodox, is that correct?
Yeah, but is the Missouri Synod the only group that holds to the Lutheran confessions and to the scripture?
There are other Lutheran bodies.
Yes, and we don't think too highly of some of them, do we?
What I see is a mixture of truth and error in every body, ours included in that, just that the mixture might be more refined.
Is he getting heretical now, thinking there is error in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod? Is it possible? I could demonstrate it if I had to. And not from student papers, either.
So, then in by degree. So, in other words, I was Orthodox is a very... We ought to use that very cautiously.
Yes, we should use it cautiously. We use it of the official teaching of a church. It does not guarantee the correct understanding of all the lay people in the church. It doesn't even guarantee the correct understanding of all the preachers, and may I add, professors, under circumstances. Therefore, let us hold fast to what the scripture teaches us about what the church is. The church is the assembly of believers, and I don't know whether I ever stressed that in this particular class. It goes back to Anselm of Canterbury, and that goes before you and I were born by 1,000 and some years. Fides virens intellectum. Faith seeking understanding. And that's something that goes on with us all our lives. That we want to understand the things that make for our faith. And I don't mean by that rationally, but there are some things you can't understand with your reason. What I mean is that we understand what God is saying to us, what God wants us to believe, what God wants us to teach, what God wants us to do. That is something that goes on in a student's life all the time, and it will go on in your life when you become pastors. You should grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow also in the knowledge of theology, not like certain ministers. If you wanted to cut them down, you could ask them, when did you last read a book? And some pastors would get pretty red in the face if they gave an honest answer. No, a pastor must grow, and above all things, grow in the knowledge of the Holy Scripture. well. We are not going to be able to discuss the theology of fellowship the way I would like to discuss it. We do it much more in the special course on the doctrine of the church. But I wish you would read that particular document, because there we wrestled with a real problem in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. There was a time when unionism was talked about right and left in our synod, and it almost seemed that unionism was the greatest sin there was, to have dealings with Christians of other churches, no matter what the dealings were. It didn't mean that you couldn't marry a girl from there if you wanted to. But to go to church there or to pray with those people, that was a horrible thing. But we had to restudy that thing, and we had to shed some light on some of the proof texts that were used. And you'll find all that work in the Theology of Fellowship. I hope you will use it. It will make you, I hope, more evangelical, less judgmental, will, I hope, help you to love the Church of our Lord, and that is not a sin to love the Church of our Lord. I think it's one not to love it, because Christ loved it and gave himself for it, and who are we to want to do otherwise? Now, I had drawn up some a few points. I don't know whether I'll be able to get through with them or not. And you listen and see whether this is orthodox or heterodox. Every Christian, whether orthodox or heterodox, is a child of God and will be saved. And Christian here understood as believer in the vicarious satisfaction of Christ. Secondly, it is the will of God that unity of the Spirit should exist among all Christians. Is that right so far? And that Christians should guard this unity where it exists. You know what? And work for its restoration where it has been lost. Is that right too? I think it is. Christians are forbidden to follow false teachers. Is that right? To accept them as their teachers, to join their heterodox organizations, because false doctrine is the ruination of the church. Now that's a strong statement. I think if I were writing it today, I would say false doctrine is very dangerous to the church. Thank God it does not always wreck the church completely, but it's a very dangerous thing. Now, see whether the next one is still right or whether I'm starting to go wrong. Christians of an Orthodox communion cannot normally avoid all contact with Christians of heterodox communions. And you get into an American community, you find that out. They may at times find it in the interest of the kingdom of God to work together with them. Is that still Orthodox? For instance, in the American Bible Society, or in the organized work of feeding the starving in Europe after World War II. You can see when I wrote this. There was a time when Missouri Synod Lutherans contributed $700 a year to the American Bible Society. That was done by a few brave individuals. Others thought it was unionism. At that time, Dr. Behnken was president of our synod. And I felt we were just way wrong on that. And I wrote him a letter, and I asked him whether that was really true. I told him I didn't think it was. I said we couldn't even do our mission work in foreign countries unless we had the Bibles provided in those languages by the American Bible Society. And I said, I would like to put a memorial before the synod that the synod should put the American Bible Society into his budget. I asked him whether he'd be against that. He says, no, I think you ought to do it. He said, I send them a contribution every year. Well, then we got busy in my congregation between Dr. Behnken and my congregation. We doubled and tripled the contributions to the American Bible Society. It came before the synod. The committee said, I don't think we can do that, put it in the budget, but let's encourage our congregations to contribute. So they did that, and from then on we went well. All right.
How about the Gideon Society, letting them come in and use the church facilities to raise the funds for their...
Yeah, what do they do when they come in?
Well, the experience I had, we had the normal page 5 service, but then afterwards they took over and they themselves made a presentation about their work, and then they got a free will offering at the door, which was substantial.
Was it very bad, what the man said?
I didn't think so, but there were mixed emotions.
Yes.
About
we have a history.
Could have been admitted or not.
Yes, we have a history, Fosdick, and let's not forget that we have a history. And that was that any dealings like that with people that are not Missouri Synod Lutherans, that is unionism. And that's undoubtedly what bothered you at that time.
Yeah.
Now, what do the Gideons do in any, if that is either good or bad? They put Bibles into hotel rooms and motel rooms. Which version do they put in? I think that they have started putting in some of the modern versions, but it used to be only the King James Version. Well, I hope this will cause you to think there is such a thing as unionism. We should not engage in it. Unionism is when you work and worship with others in such a way that the truth either can't be told or is denied. Now,
you want it,
no, you better keep it. My wastebasket suffers from gluttony. All right. Well.
Thank you.
I Thank you.